Chapter 16. It looked like 2,300 miles and change, Detroit to Seattle. So, not how you would do it normally if you were headed back to the Bay Area, but Chris figured, you know what? 10, 12 hours a day for 3 days isn't going to kill you, and it never been that way, so why not? It was pretty easy driving. You combined 94 and 90, and you stopped in or zoomed past, depending, some interesting spots, such as St. Cloud, Minnesota, Fargo, North Dakota, Missoula, Montana, Yakima, Washington. And he found a good old Super 8 off the interstate in Tacoma, and in the morning you'd be on Highway 5, where you'd barely have to think through Washington State or Oregon or even California until you get to the junction near Sacramento, where you wanted to make sure you went right instead of that left, which would leave you screwed up. At a rest stop near Gold Hill, Oregon, Jackson County, Chris gave Chandler a call. This was Thursday afternoon, April 26th, 2 weeks since he'd picked up the DNA memory stick at the lab in Gardena and left L.A. He'd balked on bothering Chandler on that earlier thing, but he could use his help here and tried not to feel guilty about it. "Uh-oh," Chandler answered with. "That bad, huh?" Chris said. "It's all relative," Chandler said. "If you were in town, which I take it you are not, in fact I hear traffic rushing by and wind as well, I believe, that would be better." "More predictable, you're saying. Likely as innocent a call as, do you want to hit a few balls?" "Exactly," Chandler said. "And you know something? We should. I won't have you do those drills anymore. We'll just play." What Chris interpreted here was Chandler must have lost a couple tennis partners recently. No way Chris was on his immediate radar before. That last guy, for example, when Chris dropped by the courts and Chandler was putting a beating on this guy and sort of celebrating it too, that guy for sure wasn't coming back. "More to the point," Chris said, "and I know you're getting tired of this and I don't blame you, but can you possibly procure a bit more information for me? One more guy? Maybe two, actually, together." A big demonstrative exhale from Chandler into the mouthpiece, but he asked, "What do you need?" And Chris said there were these two guys up in Marin County, young black dudes, and he wanted to at least inform himself, were they wreaking havoc all over the place? Or, Chandler said, was it just an isolated experience? The guy had a way of making you feel pretty small, seeing through your decorative BS in about half a second. Though Chandler wouldn't necessarily assume that anything pertained to Chris here, right? Just that Chris probably heard about something that did happen or might have happened and wanted to explore it a bit further. Either way, Chris wouldn't even have run it by Chandler this time, since it's not his normal territory, except that Chandler back toward the beginning, and what was that deal even about now? But bottom line, Chandler surprisingly had a solid contact in Sonoma County, not Marin per se, but right above it, likely good enough. Oh yeah, that was where Chris wanted to make sure he wasn't under the radar up there, which he assured Chandler would have been real goofy and misplaced and completely off target, and Chandler, to his credit, didn't pass judgment for the most part and discreetly found out that he currently wasn't. So yes, Chandler might be able to get a word back to him on the pricks who robbed him at gunpoint on Mount Tamalpais when he was killing time while Kay and her Nancy friend engaged in their shopping spree at the Corte Madera Mall. Chris said, "One guy did more of the talking, from what I understand. Shorter of the two. Also, what I heard, there was a brown car involved. Not a Honda or Toyota, most likely. More like a Hyundai or Kia. Like I said, lightish brown." What happened that night was when he was forking over the money and explaining why he wasn't going to give up his wallet as well, he noticed the shadowy outline of one car in the parking lot, the trees mostly in the way. No idea what it was except that it belonged to these a-holes. Though then, a minute later, he did see the car better. After they'd exited the pullout out of view and had swung around and were headed back down the hill, and you wouldn't have been sure it was the same car, except there were two black faces in front. The other issue being, at that moment, Chris was in the middle of seeing stars from just having been pistol-whipped in the head. But he did process the vehicle. "Uh-huh," Chandler said, "that it?" "There's a little more, I think," Chris said, "about the car, from what I heard, if it helps. It sat a bit low, like they can these days, and it had those hubcaps that spin around funny." "You mean the opposite direction of the wheels?" Chandler said. "I think so. I'm guessing they keep spinning when a guy stops at a light. I think I've seen that." "That it?" Chandler said. "I'm afraid so. I wasn't given much else. What do you think? Any ideas?" "My experience up there," Chandler said, "the bulk of your crime, the black population you're referring to, that's going to be based in the city or the Oakland-Richmond corridor." "Kind of my impression too," Chris said. "And the implication being, Marin County was one of the whitest and richest counties on the planet. And it could happen, of course, but you didn't typically run across inner-city black guys driving across a bridge to go for an evening hike on Mount Tam, or even rob someone there who was doing that." "Let's see what my guy says," Chandler said. "Meanwhile, don't do anything stupid." Chandler hung up. And this wasn't a normal finishing comment from Chandler, who kept it clinical and relatively objective, and Chris was startled for a moment that, holy mackerel, did he know something? Chris convinced himself no, because nothing happened here on his end, and he reminded himself that he'd been a simple victim in this one, for gosh sakes. Chandler's manner and admonition did confirm, though, didn't it? That who are we kidding? Chandler probably understands the big picture, and Chris trying to be coy and cagey and otherwise BS him on the petty details of these things. So what? The guy gets it. Friday, Chris was almost home, at least the Bay Area, and he decided to call Mark and tell him the good news, what happened out in Detroit. It had been another postcard day, and he'd cut over at Clear Lake and out to the coast, and now was back in Bodega Bay, one of his favorite spots, and he dropped down off Highway 1, past the crab boats and the marine lab, and drove up the bluff to Bodega Head. It was more crowded than usual for a weekday out here, but someone told him the whales were visible, meaning the annual migration of the gray whales from the feeding grounds of Alaska to the warm lagoons of Baja, which Chris could never quite wrap his head around. He'd seen whales a couple times from this spot, rolling around in the kelp bed surprisingly close to shore, not appearing in any hurry. Maybe he'd take a good look after he reached Mark. "Oh, hey," Mark said. "Still trying to figure it out. Work the kinks. I can tell you're concerned." "Yeah, well, I appreciate it," Chris said. "But one good thing, long story short, I took care of that late addition, the Studebaker guy, out in Michigan." "Jeepers," Mark said. "I mean, what do you mean?" "It wasn't fancy," Chris said. "Leave it at that for now. I'll give you more detail another time, though it's not real inspiring. The good thing, though, at least I could relax driving home." You could hear Mark clicking around. "No," he said. "I'm still seeing the guy." "You have got to be kidding," Chris said. And he made sure Mark was on GEDmatch and had the correct name. "Hey, sorry, man," Mark said, "but no. You what? I'm taking a guess. You convinced the guy that another genealogy site would be more advantageous, and he deleted himself from this one?" "Something like that, yeah," Chris said, starting to feel more than a little sick. Mark said, "Problem we're seeing with GEDmatch, and it's very clean overall, mind you, the massive engines they're having to run, and essentially via open source volunteers. But one bug is its catch. Ugh, Chris said. Meaning, Mark said, the database tends to retain information unnecessarily. Chris had no comeback to that one. What could you say? He did everything right, it sure sounded like, and it didn't matter. However, Mark said, and this is the exciting part, I've come up with a new point of entry, different foundation entirely. I should be able to A, contain the repeats like we were discussing before, and B, handle the new entries this time, such as your friend in question in Michigan. Not to mention, we get notified when a new one of these folks joins up. Chris said, okay then, and please don't torture yourself, though both statements were incorrect. It wasn't okay that Chris was still currently hanging out to dry, probably, if law enforcement took a good hard look. And in terms of Mark torturing himself, please do that, if that's what it takes. There had been an article in Sports Illustrated this week on the 69 Mets coming out of nowhere and winning the World Series, and not that it pertained exactly, but it reminded Chris of another Met from 10 years later, a relief pitcher named Tug McGraw, and he had a mantra which caught on. You gotta believe. Right now, with Mark, the computer quirks, the DNA profiles, the unlikely relatives, Chris figured you could do worse than keep your fingers crossed and buy into what Tug McGraw was selling. And he got back in the car and headed to San Francisco.